tonight. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to be in the house of God once again. I do want to say thank you so much, your love offering, your gift into this ministry, your investment on behalf of my wife, Abigail, myself. We so much appreciate, as your pastor mentioned, we had an opportunity to spend time this afternoon, this morning, for the most part, and you do live in a tremendous city. The scenery itself, so just a tremendous blessing your pastor has been and his family. If you have your Bible tonight, the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 14. The book of Mark, chapter 14, we want to start in verse 3 this evening. If you have your spot, you can say amen. The Bible says these words in Mark 14, verse 3, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and she poured it on Jesus' head. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given over to the poor. They murmured against her. Another translation says they complained against her. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Why trouble you her? What she's done, she's wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor always with you. Whensoever you will, you may do good to them, but me, you have not always. She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body for burial. Verse 9, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached, throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of a memorial unto her. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, God. We come before you by the precious blood of Jesus, God. I have no confidence in my own talents nor abilities, God. I depend upon you, God, your spirit. God, that even now you would begin to move upon our hearts, oh God. Soften the hardest of hearts, oh God. Open the deaf ear. We come against every resistance, every opposition this night by the precious blood of Jesus, God. Let your word, God, challenge and pierce our hearts this day, God, that we may leave tonight different than how we walked in through the doors. And oh God, we are careful once again to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I want to preach a sermon this evening I've entitled, Windows of Opportunity. In the kingdom of God, there's opportunities and windows that must be seized. I want to first look at an opportunity seized. Think about it. An opportunity that's right before you and I. The Bible speaks about powerful testimonies, no doubt, people that encounter Jesus. There's an opportunity people got prayed for last night. When we speak about healing, the Bible says in Mark chapter 5, a tremendous chapter, I advise you to read it. There's a woman, 12 years she's got a disease. 12 years she's been in her condition. And the Bible says that as soon as she hears that Jesus is passing through with everything that's inside of this woman, the Bible says she presses in to the crowd, didn't let it discourage her or keep her home, because somewhere she understood, if I can but touch his garment, then I will be made whole. And the Bible says as she presses in through the crowd, she grabs a hold of the garment of Christ. Jesus turns and says, "Who touched me?" And no doubt the disciples are thinking, there is people thronging upon you and pulling upon you. And he says, "No, virtue has left my body." He turns to this woman and says, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." In other words, this woman said, "I am not going to miss the opportunity that's before me. You're here this evening. This night, there's an opportunity to get right with God." In the book of Luke chapter 19, it speaks of a man named Zacchaeus. He's also a man that heard of the tremendous things, amen, that Jesus has been doing. And the Bible says he climbs up this tree. He thinks in his mind, if I can just get close enough to see what this Jesus is all about. You know, people walk in all the time. They no doubt know that there's a church here in Colorado Springs, amen, that lives are being changed and lives are being transformed, amen. And thank God when they make their way in, because in the presence of God, listen, you don't have to leave the same way that you walked in, amen. God is so gracious and good. Salvation, amen, is given freely unto us. And so Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and he says, "Make haste, come down quickly. Today I'm going to your house." And we know the story. Something powerful happens in this man's life. There's a change. A radical transformation. He says, "Listen, I know I've been a tax collector. I know what's spoken of these type of people. If I've done people wrong, if I rob anybody, I'll give them back fourfold." In other words, he says, something has taken place in my life, an opportunity in a lifetime, and I want to give back to the community. And the Bible says that Jesus says, "Today, salvation has come to your house." Listen, you can be born again. They invited me 28 years ago. I saw people's lives changed. And all I can think, if I can get to the house of God, I don't want to miss the opportunity that's right before me. The Bible speaks of opportunities, amen, to be set free. In the book of Mark chapter 5 as well, it speaks of a demon-possessed man. In fact, he also hears this man's living in the tombs. That's a bad scene. Come on, somebody. That's a picture of the world, amen, an outcast shunned to society. The Bible says he's got chains and it can't even hold this man. He breaks through. He runs to where Jesus is at. And Jesus simply says, "What is your name?" And this man says, "My name is Legion, because we are many." That word Legion speaks of over 2,000 devils. Oh, come on, somebody. This last revival in Virginia, I just prayed for a young man. At the altar call, he began to manifest. And no doubt this young man, he went up for prayer. No clue that he has a demon. But set free, amen, in a matter of seconds by the power of the living God, amen. Through the week, he was in church. No clue of what took place. You can see his demeanor had changed, amen. He was a different man with a different spirit, because how many know the opportunity for deliverance was in the house of God? Jesus passed through town, and time again, there's those that said, I'm not going to miss what God has. Come on, somebody. If God can touch, if God can save, if God can deliver, amen, then I want to be the first one to receive a miracle. How many are with me? You see, that's the God that you and I serve. A God of opportunities. But think about it. In Luke chapter 8, verse 36, the Bible says, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Those are some powerful words. Amen. Jesus said, I came to set the captive free. No matter what holds you bound, you can say, well, I'm a different story. Listen, we all could have spoken those words, but in the presence of Jesus, amen, you don't have to leave the same way you walked into the church house in the first place. But what about those that missed opportunities? Because we see it all the time. People with good intentions. In Luke chapter 18, I encourage you to read it. It speaks of a man that all we know that he's referenced as the rich young ruler. He hears no doubt that Jesus is doing miracles. He no doubt knows probably people that are following after Christ. And somewhere he gets the idea, I want to do that. But yet he walks up to Jesus and he says, good teacher, in Luke 18:18, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Good intentions. No doubt a good man, as Jesus says, listen, and he speaks about the commandments, and he says, I've done that since I was a small boy. I can check the box. And then Jesus, amen, he looks within the heart. How often, amen, we look on the outward appearance, and yes, we see potential in people, but Jesus understood that here's a man that can do great things one day for me. And so he goes straight to the heart. He says, go sell all that you got, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the Bible says this man walks away sorrowful. Because the material, everything he possessed, kept him from following after Jesus. And he missed an opportunity. And how often do we see people just like that? They come into the house of God. Oh, come on, somebody. Their words, amen, are on the right page. Their intentions almost seem genuine, but they walk away and they miss the opportunity, an eternal opportunity. Listen, you and I are part of something great, amen. We're not just here on a Saturday night, come on, having some sort of religious gathering, amen. We're here to serve the King, amen. We're followers after the living God, amen. Why? Because somewhere we grabbed the hold of the opportunity that was right before us. You think of the text in Luke 18, and the Bible references him as the rich young ruler. And it does that for a reason. Doesn't give him a name. But I truly believe, amen, regardless on the age that you walk in the church, I walked in at 25 years of age. I was still young. The whole world would say, you know what, there is so much you can do. But at 25 years old, I said, God, I want to do something for you. No clue about the plan that God had in store for my life. a woman, in fact, amen, as I was a new convert, she said, Frankie, God's going to use you powerfully. I laughed within my spirit because I didn't think so. Oh, come on, somebody. The life that I lived, the damage I done, amen. And then I came in and God so graciously touched my life. But when I heard those words, amen, I grabbed a hold. I said, God, if you can use a man like me, so be it. You see, you're in this place, regardless of the age. There's opportunities that are right before us. Some are with me. And somewhere, as Christ is passing through, amen, as the Spirit of God continues, you know, there's going to be a day that the presence of God, amen, is going to leave. Why? Because God's people are going to be caught up with Him. And somewhere, as the Spirit of God moves, we must capture the opportunity. In 2023, my pastor came to me and he's asked me a simple question in prayer. He said, Frankie, have you considered the mission field? Me and my wife, we sat in the office with him. He just pouring out his heart how God is moving in South America. We have a church out there, Pastor Paul Alvarez. Some of you met Bob Alvarez. His son is doing tremendous. Speaking about 125, 150 Peruvians and Ecuadorians and people from Venezuela that've made their way into Lima, flaming revival. I can hear my pastor's heart. I can see that there's an opportunity. He says, listen, pray about it. Speak with your wife, with each other. We looked at each other in his office and I said, Pastor, whatever needs to be done for the kingdom of God. 51 years old with 5 grandbabies. I said, I'll go. Oh, it's getting quiet tonight. The opportunity was right before me and my wife to do something for God. Can that be you this evening? Now, I understand that everyone's called to preach the gospel, to be a pastor or even a missionary. But you and I are called, amen, as the people of God. The people of God that we can do something for Christ. Because think of the woman in our text. The world would have looked at her as a reject. Oh, come on, somebody. The world would have saw her and thought, you know what? What can she possibly offer God? But yet the Bible shows us that she saw an opportunity before her. And something within her said, I'm not going to miss it. The Bible says in verse 3 of our text, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at dinner, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and she poured it upon the head of Jesus. Nowhere in Scripture does it say this woman was invited to the fellowship. Oh, come on, somebody. Doesn't say she got a flyer. She was standing outside, understanding that Jesus is in the house, and somewhere she brought that which was precious. She wasn't going to wait, but now was the time, amen. And I truly believe it's the same in the hour we live in, that now is the opportunity. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. How many people say laters? I'll do this Christian thing when I bring my grandbabies to church. I'll get right with God one day. But the Bible says now. And the Bible shows us that that's exactly. She crashes the party. How many are with me? I've been to many parties uninvited. Back in the day, I found out they had beer. And guess what? It's on like Donkey Kong. Amen. And I showed up on the scene. I didn't care who lived there. I didn't know the owners. We just showed up, me and my crew. But you think that if we're not careful when it comes to the kingdom of God, we hesitate. Oh, come on, somebody. We wait. Let me just take care of a few things in life. Let me start this schooling. Let me finish this career and on and on and on. But yet, amen, and not that those things are sinful. Listen, what about the will of God, though, amen? When it comes to serving Christ, when it comes to paying a price for the kingdom of God, listen, my pastor often says ministry's not cheap. There's a price. The question is, are you willing to pay that price? You see, the Bible says that this woman understood what I have to do. I have to do it now. How often do we make excuses? Oh, pastor, I would, but. Always a big but, huh? Sounds good, but maybe. And we pass the buck. And we walk away from opportunities. You see, in our text, something was broken. That if you and I are going to do great things in this life, amen, not only is it going to cost you, but something must be broken. Broken before God, amen. The alabaster box, amen, was precious. The alabaster box, no doubt, probably was passed from generation to generation. And so, in other words, this was sentimental. This had value to this woman, but yet no price was too big for her to break that box. When me and my wife responded to go to the mission field, I've had about 2+ years on my calendar of dates that were booked previously for me to go preach in many places. Frankie Chi could have looked at his calendar and said, I'm pretty set, Pastor. I'm doing just good. The world would think, you know what, that's successful. Why would you possibly leave this ministry and drop it all to do something in another country? Listen, one man told me, a good friend of mine, he says, you know what, Frankie, I believe God was bringing you to a test. And I thought about that. Because if you were willing to let go of that which was precious and break it before God. And we didn't hesitate. We sold everything we had. We put a few momentum things in a small storage and we were off to South America. Listen, there's a price that's paid in the kingdom. Jesus, amen, he paid it with his precious blood. No hesitation, no procrastination, no excuses, amen. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endures the cross, amen. What kept him hanging on a cross and paying something costly with his blood and with his life. Was you and I in this place? And when we pay a price in the kingdom, listen to me, it computes to precious souls. Your pastor, and I don't believe he minds me using this, he was just sharing. I've known your pastor for years. I preached for him in Garland many years back to back. And I knew he had a good job over in the Dallas area, and his wife as well, and his children, beautiful kids, amen, and saw them grow up in ministries in the house of God. And this week, we're just talking, amen, and the opportunity last year plus that was given to him to come to Colorado Springs, to leave everything that was familiar to him, everything that was dear. Grandbabies are dear. Can you say amen? Some of you don't have them, so you have no clue. But when I hear your pastor speak, just in the last couple of days, you hear the excitement over some nature and some rocks and just some scenery. But he speaks about the church. He speaks about the new building, which he didn't show me. He forgot. Amen. He speaks about souls. He speaks about what God is doing here. I'm not listening to regret. There is no woe is me. Pobrecito just wants a pat in the back. There's excitement. There's vision. But if God is going to move in Colorado Springs, amen, we can preach vision. You can see the heart of your pastor. He could pay a price. But the question is, what about you? Because ministry is not cheap. And I'm sure he doesn't mind me saying that. He didn't tell me to say that. Not even in my notes. You see, that's what the alabaster box was to this woman. It was dear, it was expensive, and it was precious. How many are with me? And there's no argument in this woman's life. There is no buts. There is no excuses. She simply takes the opportunity that's before her. See, the opportunity can come also in the areas of just simple ministry. In the house of God. You know, in our churches, we're unlike the mega churches, and I'm sure this town has mega churches. You know what the mega church looks to you for? The woo woo woo, right? Oh, he can sing, brother. Never mind the fact that you're living like a devil. Come to our platform. But in our churches, it's just simply faithfulness. Oh, you missed an opportunity to say amen. Loyalty to the things of God. It's like your job. How do you get promoted in your job? You show up. You work hard. You're loyal. You're faithful. Come on, somebody. There's a good report. Have you heard of so-and-so, man? He's a hard worker, and guess what? I've always taught my kids that. I said, the bosses know who the slackers are. Go and do it as if you're working for Jesus. Come on, somebody. So in the house of God, amen, it's no different. And then you see people do something for God. That's all that's required. In other words, amen, there's opportunity in this place to do something for Jesus. Pastor, who can I pick up? Oh, come on. Who can I follow up on? Who can I take out to lunch or to dinner? Who can I go visit? Who can I love? Who can I care for as like someone had cared for you? Well, I don't know about that, man. I'd rather play the drums. I'd rather take over brother's spot over on the piano. There's opportunities. You know, I was given a Bible study to do at about less than 2 years of being saved. My pastor came to me. My apartment complex was very fruitful. Every time we outreached that area, people were coming to church. Some of you, that's where you're at right now. And my pastor came to me and said, listen, can you do a Bible study on Friday nights at your apartment? I'm like, no problem. I had no clue what I was doing. That's when books existed. They're big, fat books where you can just flip. There's pages. Some of you only know what you got on your tablet. I started investing in books and tools that were going to help me, commentaries and concordances and the Vine's Book of Words. Because I wanted to do something for God. And lo and behold, I would sit on my kitchen table. That was my desk. Thinking, Friday's coming. And I need to teach God's people something. But I was so excited because the opportunity was right before me. Listen, can that be you this evening? Can your pastor call upon you? That's an opportunity, man. And I thank God that someone saw that in me, because that's where God began to raise me up, amen, to do something for God. I want to quickly look at, you can't please them all. Verse 4 and 5 of our text. The Bible says, and there were some that had indignation within themselves. And they say, why was this waste of ointment made? Verse 5. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they complained against her. That word indignation speaks of an anger that rises up at the moment. So they're watching this woman. She's taking what's costly and she's breaking it right before, amen, the disciples and all of those in the house. She's anointing Jesus with it. And instead of saying, wow, who is this woman? The Bible says they murmur, they complain, and they think, what a waste. And when it uses that word, they were angered. You know, you can't please everybody. You know, all that really matters is that you please God. How often, as a young convert, my family would say, what a waste. It's like this weekend, 4 services in church. What a waste. Some of you heard that this weekend already. If you haven't, some of you are going to hear it. You don't have to be in church that much to go to heaven. How many heard that one? God's not going to strike you dead. Yeah, you're right. I don't have to be in church that much, but I want to be in church as much as possible. I told my pastor a long time ago as a new convert, give me the keys. I want to live in church. Because every time I came in, God was dealing with my heart. Every time I left, I had the victory. I can win the world for Jesus. Amen. I can live again another day for the kingdom. What a privilege it is, amen, to be called the son and a daughter of the living God. You and I in this place, we are royalty. We are children of the King. Amen. That ought to excite some of us in this place. One amen. Think about it. My mom told me, you know what? You've changed. She says, en esa iglesia te están lavando el coco. What does that mean? They're brainwashing you at that church. I said, I don't know what's going on, but hey, bring out the Mr. Clean, the Fabuloso, the Ajax. Begin to scrub this brain because there's nothing clean in it. God was doing a miracle in me. My mother-in-law, God bless her. She gets saved every time we show up in town. But she used to tell my wife, you're giving that much to the church? When she found out what we tithe, what we give in offering, speaking about money. Ah, you could have used that for your kids. You could have bought them new shoes. Some of you heard that already too. In their minds, what a waste. No, my kids from day one, God began to bless us. My kids never had holes in their shoes. But in her eyes, what a waste. Giving to the church. Giving your money. That's what a waste. And if we're not careful, we try to please the world. Oh, come on. We try to please family. For whatever reason, my mother would have the carne asada barbecues on Sunday. I think she did them on purpose. Oh, Frankie, ¿por qué no vienes? Why don't you come? I said, listen, I got to be in church. I want to be in church. Why don't you do it Saturday after outreach? Then I'll show up. And it would upset her. Some of you, oh, my jefita, I don't want to upset her. I don't want to get her mad. That's mama. That's the queen bee of the house. But I had to say, mama, I need to be in church. I don't care if you think it's a waste. Some of you don't like what I'm preaching tonight. I want to be in church. Because we know what God is doing in our lives. I'm there with me. But if we're trying to please the world, or even trying to please family, you know, often I pastored people that would say, Pastor Chi, my mother told me she liked me better the way I was before. Some of you heard that. I say, well, flip the script on it. Tell her, what did you like better, the drunk? What did you like better, the one that was robbing from you? Andale, right now it's a different story, right? See, all that really matters is that we please God. You know, when I was about to get into the ministry, opportunities that Pastor Campbell was giving me and Abigail, my family offered me, well, a family member did, a 5-bedroom house in California. They said, Frankie, there's churches all over California. You could be a Christian here. I said, bro, you don't get it. I don't care about your house. I want to do something for God now. Because opportunity was knocking. Opportunity was placed before us. And I didn't care what they thought about me. They thought, man, you're crazy. How can you turn down a 5-bedroom house in Califas? Come on. Where the sun goes down. Beautiful sunsets out there. But they say Arizona has the greatest sunsets. Go look that up. But I said no. He was coming upon some money, supposedly an inheritance. I said, but I tell you what you can do for me. One day I'm going to go out and pioneer a church. You can invest and buy me a 15-passenger van. And guess what? He never got the money. That's like the devil right there, just one more shot. Because he doesn't want you to grab a hold of the opportunity. This woman in our text, verse 6, Jesus says, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? Listen, when you make stands for God, God has your back. The whole family can come against you, but God has your back. And I think about this story because whose house were they in? Simon the leper. If you know anything about leprosy, listen, this dude had a terminal disease. I oftentimes tell people, listen, don't forget where you came from. Now you can say, oh, you know what, I wasn't as bad as you. No, the Bible says we all have sinned. And we fall short of the glory of God, amen. That regardless the life you were living before you walked into the church house, we were headed down the same road, amen. A road that was going to separate us from Jesus for eternity. If anybody in that house should have backed her up, should have been Simon the leper. Oh, come on, somebody. But you don't hear a peep from that dude's mouth. That's why often I say, listen, appreciate and be grateful for what God has done and what God is doing. When you lose, amen, gratitude, you become like this man. He should have told folks, you know what? This is my pad. Y'all need to stop. Right? But he didn't say nothing. It was Jesus that steps in on her behalf. Because that's the God that you and I serve tonight. He said, leave her alone. They had him passed. Leave her alone. You see, one, this woman understood who was right before her. Verse 7, the Bible says, for you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do good to them, but me you don't have always. This woman understood. I don't want to miss the opportunity. Jesus is going to the cross, amen. He's in the house. I need to do what I need to do for Jesus right now. That's priorities. Not later. Not one day. Not if I have time, Pastor. Oh, come on. Yeah, I threw that one in there. But she says, I'm not going to have Christ always. You know, the world cries out, oh, the Christians, here comes the holy rollers. Can I just say something? That one day this fallen world is going to get their wish. I wish Christians were in existence. They were all gone. Well, one day they'll get their wish. Because when that trumpet sounds, we're going to be gone, amen. And thank God that we stand before God, amen. And the Bible shows us, amen, obviously we're not going to stand in judgment. It's the beam of seed where the believers, amen, go before God. Then it speaks about your works are going to be displayed. Then there's going to be fire that's going to quench it, and whatever's left, that's what you did. What is God going to show you and I in that day? You see, we don't serve God by works. We serve God because we love God. But everything we did on this side of eternity, that one day, the That's how we're rewarded. How many are with me? One day it's brought up before us. And can you imagine? You imagine the opportunities that you took for the kingdom. And it's displayed. Listen, at the end of the day, it's about Jesus getting the glory, man. The Bible says we're going to cast those rewards and those crowns back at the feet of Christ, amen, because we don't deserve it. We know, amen, the life and God sparing us and God gets the glory. But to think with those rewards, amen, are those also opportunities that we say, God, I'll do it. God, I'll go. God, I'll serve. Oh, come on, somebody. God, I'll be a blessing. What's going to be said of your life? I'm going to close with Heaven Records. Verse 9 of our text, the Bible says, verily I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also what she has done shall be spoken of a memorial unto her. You know that God keeps good books? That there's nothing on this side of eternity that happens without God taking notice and taking note of it. That every time you were willing to pay the price, heaven's recording that. Now think about this woman. It's 2,000 plus years later and she's being preached about. So the words that Jesus spoke, he says, listen, this woman's life is going to leave a legacy. This woman's life, amen, is going to impact, as I spoke last night, and touch people's lives, amen, until I come back. They're going to be speaking about this woman, this deed that she done, this opportunity that she took, amen, making a stand, not to please the world, but to please God, amen, simply by saying, God, I want to do something for you. I know it's going to require of me. I know it might be costly, but at the end of the day, amen, this woman's life is being spoken of tonight. Can that be you tonight? Because the books are still being written. I believe. What's being written about your life? As heaven looks down. Didn't try, didn't care, didn't want. Too busy? Or is it God looking down and they're still writing every opportunity, every stand that you made to put God first? Listen, that's what heaven records. You see, today I look back at, they say hindsight, 28 years of serving Jesus. I was just sharing with Brother Hugo. I call him Hugo. He says, what? 28 years I've been able to pray with 90%+ of my family. The same ones that said, you're wasting your time in church. Some of you know my testimony. My parents both made it into heaven before me. I used every opportunity to bring the gospel into conversations. Plant the seed, something's going to grow. But if I would have listened to them then, I would have missed opportunities to witness, opportunities to display the love of Jesus to them. Because how many know our loved ones need to see the love of Christ? Amen? But opportunities that they've seen, me and Abigail give our lives to the ministry. And again, as I said, it's a privilege to do anything for God. I know where I came from. But I also understand that heaven's looking down. And one day, everything's going to be revealed. And just by simply this woman didn't do it because she wanted recognition. All she simply wanted to do is something for Jesus. And heaven captured that. Windows of opportunity. Let's bow our heads. As our heads are bowed, eyes are closed in respect to the Lord. You came in this evening. We never close off a service without giving you the invitation to come to Jesus just the way you are. I came in at 25 years old. No Christian background. But I did know that the life I was living wasn't right. It doesn't take rocket science to figure out you're not doing right. The life that you're living, is it pleasing to God? Jesus loves you. And he loved you so much. He steps out of heaven, comes down and dies a brutal death, stays on the cross so that you can be saved, so that you one day can hear the gospel message, one of hope. And you're here tonight, you say, you know what? I need to get right with Jesus. The decisions I'm making, they're separating me from a holy God. And you want to come clean before the Lord. I'm not here to embarrass you. All I want to do is pray with you. Would you lift up your hand? You say, that's me. Here's my hand. Small hands are going up in the back. Anybody else? You say, that's me. Here's my hand. I need to be saved. I'm not living for God. You see, religion's not going to do it. Jesus told the religious man, you must be born again. And God is speaking that tonight. Are you born again? The Apostle Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, everything becomes new. You can experience a brand new life today. Don't push it for tomorrow. The opportunity is before you. And James would say, tomorrow's not promised to no man. Life is but a mere vapor. Would you respond? Anybody tonight, you say, I need to be saved. I need to get right with Jesus. Anybody at all, you say, that's me. Front to back, left to right. Maybe you're backslidden. At one time you served God. Listen, you stepped away. You're here tonight and your heart's indifferent. You're hardening your heart. Listen, that's not a place you want to be. A cold heart. You can rededicate. God loves you. And you say, you know what? That is me. My heart's not where it needs to be. Can you pray for me? Anybody tonight? Here's my hand. Lift it up. Anybody at all? You say, that is me. Lift it up. Anybody at all? The two small hands in the back. Come, little ones. If I can get someone to pray with these. Come, little ones. I never forbid the little ones to come. They're so innocent. Thank you, brother. Yeah, pray with these. Church, tonight, there's windows of opportunity that must be seized. You must grab a hold of them. This world that we're living today, now is the time. Regardless your age, you can do something for the kingdom of God now. Don't be like the rich young ruler that missed the opportunity before him. I don't know if it's a bad thing. Some people sometimes, when they reference a yes man, I'm privileged to say, I've oftentimes said, yes, whatever needs to be done, I'll do it. Grabbing a hold of kingdom opportunities. Maybe God ministered you in the direction you're trying to please the world. You may even try to be pleasing family. Listen, they'll disappoint you. The devil's crafty. He'll use family against you to make you feel like you're wasting your time in church. Me and Abigail had to make stands after stands, so they understood these people really mean business when it comes to God. Because all that mattered, I want to please the Lord. Ministry's not cheap. It will cost you something for the woman. It was an expensive box of ointment. What is it costing you tonight? Everybody wants a free ride. Not understanding that today is an opportunity that's before us, and precious souls are on the balance. When we say yes to God and we allow God to raise us up, maybe it's ministry. Again, I understand not all of us are called to be preachers or pastors or missionaries, but listen, we're Christians. And there's opportunities here. A new building soon that you're going to be entering into. As I mentioned last night, there's going to be many opportunities, amen, that are available. Would you be that man? Would you be that woman? Would you be that couple that would say, whatever needs to be done now for the kingdom of God? I don't want to miss what God is doing. Let's stand to our feet. The altar's open. God has spoken to you in any of those areas. Come solidify that. The altar's a meeting place with God. Come make some commitments. It's okay to make commitments. That's not a curse word. Speak to the Lord. This is between you and God. You're not speaking to me. I'm just a man. This is between you and God. Make some vows. Say, God, you spoke to me in this area. I want to respond. I want to be used. Cry out to the Lord, church. Speak to God. Oh, rebo shabdalama marobo bobo shikalamande. You are worthy, 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 God. Cry out to the Lord, church, and don't go back to your seats after. Stand where you're at, and we're going to worship God together. Oh, riba la mama robo bobo si kala mama rebe. God, you are worthy of praise. Yolobo shandala mama rebe bebe. Yolobo shandala mama robo bobo shikalamande. God, we love you. Let's sing a song, brother. God, you are worthy of praise and glory, God. Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing the song. Don't go back to your seats. Lift up your hands where you're at. Sing it to the Lord tonight.
I can almost hear the trumpet sound in a twinkling of an eye. I'll be gone.
Yeah, sing it to the Lord tonight, church. On you, Lord.
And I will wait on you, Lord, till you come.
Yes, yeah, sing it to the Lord tonight, church. Tonight, church, let's give them praise. Praise them. Hallelujah. Oh, praise them. Yo, ro, 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 ro. God, you are worthy. If you have the opportunity to interpret that, I want you to speak it right now. You have the interpretation, speak it. Don't fear. Praise the Lord. I know the presence of God is in this place. I'm going to give you a word in English so the church understands. Si me escuchas. In Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, "Seek you first the kingdom of heaven and all of his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you." It's in the context of provision. The chapter of Matthew 6, it's trusting in God. God knows your needs. All he looks to you is to simply trust him. This scripture bleeds into every avenue of life. And it starts in the beginning of that verse. Seek you first. My encouragement to you is do not stop putting God first. Does that make sense? Every decision that you make, it comes through that scripture. Where you live, the house of God, the people you're with, your future one day, so on and so forth. If you're faithful to keep God first, the Bible says everything else, everything you lack, everything you've been praying for, everything you need, God is faithful to provide. Not backwards. Not God second. Not God fifth. But God first. And if you do that, watch and see what God will do in your life and through your life. Can I pray for you? Lift up your hands. Father, by the blood of Jesus, God, that your hand be upon my brother. Father, I ask you, cover him in the precious blood. Help him to serve you, God, to keep his eyes fixed upon you, God, as you continue to move, God, and open doors of blessing and provision. God, you hear his cries and you see his needs, oh God. I ask you right now that your hand be upon him, oh God. In Jesus' name, we come against the strategies of hell by the blood of Christ. God, cover him this day. Let's give God praise. Acts 13:22. So the scripture speaks, and it's the Apostle Paul speaking in Acts. But he references King David. He shows how Saul was removed. King David steps in. But the reference is that David is a man after God's own heart. So you know the story of David. There was failures, decisions he made. But the reference today is King David was the greatest king that ever lived and served Israel. And the reason why King David is spoken is because of his heart. That's you. You have a heart for God. And in Acts 13:22, it references David. He was the man that got that job done. That's you. Don't lose that heart. As a young convert, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I did that for the world. My friends, I'm right there. Family, I'm right there. But now when it came to the kingdom of God, I said, God, I want a heart after you. Whatever I need to do. And that's a blessing. So King David, a blessing to Israel till today. And as long as you guard your heart and keep that attitude, and this is for both of you as well. You guard your heart and keep that attitude. God's going to bless you guys. And God's going to use you guys powerfully as a couple. I can't do nothing without my wife. My wife has been by my side for 35 years when I was a knucklehead. And you probably know him when he was a knucklehead. You know what a knucklehead is? Cabeza dura? No, cabeza. You know what I mean. But she's always been by my side. And as long as she's always been by my side, I can conquer and take the world for Jesus. That's what's needed here. My wife looks at me and she says, I'm letting him do what he's going to do for God because Frankie has a heart after God. To bless the church, to bless my pastor, and to bless the house of God. Amen? Keep that heart. Can I pray for you guys? Lift up your hands. Father, by the blood of Jesus, God, that your hand be upon them. Father, cover them even as we speak, God. Put a righteous hedge round about them, God, in the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, God. May they continue to be a blessing to your church and to your people, God. Guard their hearts with all diligence, I pray. God, that you would raise them up, oh God, a powerful testimony, God, to your glory, I pray. I ask you that your hand be upon this couple and this marriage. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Pretty simple. Time is now. Tell some of the young converts in Chandler, young guys, I love to be in the streets with them, street preaching, outreaching. And I say, listen, I said, do something for God now. And again, I say, it's regardless our age. This is not a sermon, oh, it's for the young bucks. Oh, it's for the next generation. No, it's for all of us today now. If a 52-year-old man can sell all that he's got and end up in South America somewhere, we all have hope. Can you say amen? But it always comes by seizing those windows of opportunity. Let's give God praise as your pastor comes.